Welcome to What's for Dinner, a radio show about food, cooking, and eating, and sharing favorite recipes from Petersburg, Alaska, and around the world. Brought to you by KFSK Community Supported Radio in Petersburg, Alaska, I'm your host, Mindy Anderson. Coming up on What's for Dinner today, Sunday dinner, also guest Scott Hurt from Papa Bear's, pizza, the drink of the week, and my sweet tooth. Also, Grandma's recipe box and the pantry party. All this is coming up on What's for Dinner. Support for What's for Dinner on KFSK comes from Hammer and Wecon Grocery Store, offering an expanded organic produce selection, deli, bakery, and meat department with delivery and van service available. Hosting the fall 3-day meat, produce, and deli event this weekend. Hammer and Wecon Grocery Store, a Petersburg family-owned business since 1921. Welcome back to What's for Dinner. I'm Mindy Anderson, your host. I'm not a chef, I just love to cook, and sometimes, I really admit it, I do cook real flops. And here's what I cooked this weekend. Actually, my family was out of town, so I didn't cook a whole lot. I just kind of ate some leftovers. I made some good spaghetti last night because I know Evelyn likes spaghetti and with meat sauce. So I had, I had a piece of moose meat in the refrigerator, and I put that through the grinder. And I know some of you might be like, oh my gosh, she put the moose meat through the grinder. Because I really did make a nice moose roast last weekend. But this weekend, I thought, you know, maybe I'll make a little bit of that sauce with the moose meat. So I put it through the grinder, added a little pork, and made a really terrific spaghetti sauce. So here's the recipe for it. Start off with my cast iron skillet and one onion, a little bit of olive oil. Chop your onion up, not too fine. I like my spaghetti sauce to be kind of chunky. And throw your onions in your skillet with the olive oil and let the onions become translucent. Then I added the ground moose meat. And it was probably a cup and a half to 2 cups of ground moose meat, and then about a cup of ground pork. Just, you know, picked it up at the grocery store, ground pork, threw that in there, salt, pepper, also some fresh garlic, and let the meat brown. And then I added about 3 cups of chopped mushrooms, and I like the small brown cremini mushrooms for the flavor. I added that in and let that cook down, let the mushrooms start to sweat, and then about 1 cup of red wine to that, and let it all kind of stew in that red wine. Delicious. Then I added about 2 tablespoons of chopped rosemary, because I really love rosemary, and there was some good fresh stuff at Hammer and Wecon. So I added that. And delicious. The only thing you need to do after that, this is so easy. I just opened up 2 large cans of Muir Glen tomato, chunky tomato sauce. So I didn't chop up all the tomatoes and go through all that. I just added the 2 cans of Muir Glen and let that cook down for about an hour. And it was really, really delicious. Didn't need to add anything more. Maybe, I think I added just a little touch of sugar to take off that bite from the tomatoes. But other than that, that made for a nice, great sauce. It was easy, it was simple, and nice thick spaghetti. I don't like the thin, but nice thick spaghetti, and there you go. My family loved it with some garlic bread, and we had a quick and easy meal. But I wanted to let you know that I found this super awesome recipe that, had I found this recipe ahead of time, I would have served it last night with the meal instead of just plain old salad. But here is a really good recipe for a Swiss chard with garlic, breadcrumbs, and Parmesan. I got this email today that said, here's what's for dinner. So it caught my eye. I'm like, here's what's for dinner? Who's emailing me this? Well, it was Food 52, and they said that I should check out this recipe. And I did, and it's easy. Easy. I've shared easy chard recipes with you before, but this one is super easy. Here it is. This serves four as a starter. You need one bunch of Swiss chard, one lemon, a half a cup of extra virgin olive oil, and some salt. You also need 1.5 cups of fresh breadcrumbs, 1 clove of minced garlic, 3/4 cup of grated Parmesan, and it's easy. Wash and dry your chard. Remove the leaves from the stems. Set it aside. Then you're going to zest and juice the lemon. Combine the lemon juice. It should be about 2.5 tablespoons, and 1 teaspoon of the lemon zest, and then a few pinches of salt in a bowl. And then you're going to slowly whisk in the olive oil, so this lemony olive oil goodness. Then set it aside. And then warm the remaining 1/4 cup of olive oil in your skillet over medium heat and add the breadcrumbs. Stir them frequently. You don't want them to turn black, but you want them to be crisp and golden brown. And then stir in the garlic. Toast them for just another minute and then remove them from the heat. Then finely chop the stems from the chard. Stack a few of the leaves on top of each other. Roll them and cut the leaves of the chard into 1/8-inch ribbons. And once it's all kind of shredded, put the chard stems and the leaves into a bowl and toss with the Parmesan, 2/3 of the lemon dressing, and toss in the toasted breadcrumbs and serve it. So it's this toasted, it sounds like it would go great with any pasta or a great slice of pizza. So with that, I'm going to introduce our guest today, Scott Hurt. Hello, Scott.
Hello, Mindy. Good to be here.
Thanks for coming in. Scott is the owner, along with Mandy Whitethorn, of Papa Bear's Pizza. And before we get started, Scott, I wanted to let you know I kind of made a little pizza this weekend, too. I just happened to have some bread dough laying around, and I thought, what am I going to have for dinner tonight? I thought, well, you know, I have a little bit of this dough. I'll just make a quick little pizza. And I used scape pesto that I had from this summer when I made scape pesto out of garlic scapes. And then I just added whatever I had. I actually just had some little bit of Parmesan cheese, and I sliced up a little salami. I think I had like 4 pieces left in the package. It was one of those nights. Sprinkled it on, threw it in the oven, and cooked it. Made sure I had plenty of olive oil, and it was perfect. Just what I needed with a little salad for dinner.
Pizza's pretty universal, whatever you like to do with it.
So there you go, folks. Easy. If you just know how to make the dough, you can keep some on hand and use it for making a quick dinner. But I think Scott's the king of pizza, and you know Scott, we all know Papa Bear's Pizza because they're famous for their pizza. But here at KFSK, Papa Bear's is famous for donating pizzas. And I called him up one time and asked him if he'd be interested in, you know, Rich Jennings wanted to host the rock and roll show and offer up some trivia. And I said, well, maybe I can find you some trivia, gifts to give away. And I thought, well, maybe Scott and Mandy would donate a couple slices of pizza every week for Rich's show. And Scott, I remember he said to me, I can do better than that. I'll donate 2 pizzas a week. And I was like, whoa. And so there you go. It's very famous now. People call in. They love Rich's trivia. And we really appreciate the support you give us with those pizzas every week.
Well, rock and roll and pizza, a good combination. But to kick off this fundraiser a little bit, I also brought a check today for 10% of our sales from the 1st of October. And for the next 6 to 12 months, we will be doing that every month, the first day of the month. Come down, have a great slice of pizza, and 10% will come to KFSK.
That is so generous. Wow, that's like amazing.
We'll see what the legislature does next spring and see what we need to do from there.
Did you say the first of the month?
Yes.
So November 1st?
Right. And if it falls on a Sunday, we'll do it on the 2nd.
Okay. So. Wow. Did you hear that, everybody? There you go. That is amazing. Thank you so much.
And here's our first check from October.
All right. I have a check in my hand. So it's. Can I tell everybody what it's for?
Sure.
It's for $175. And thank you so much.
It's a good way to fundraise around here in town. I've done it for several community opportunities we've needed here in town, and KFSK is about number one on my list this year.
Thank you. I know you've done it for Beat the Odds and
The theater. We did that for over a year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right, yeah, the theater. So, that was a lot.
We need to get behind and support KFSK. It's what a great thing for the community. Remember when the earthquake hit? That's what everybody was listening to.
Right. I was thinking about that this morning, actually. I'm going to give everybody a chance to call. We do have people here. This is our membership week, and this is the membership week What's for Dinner. And you can call in now and make your donation at 772-3808 or 888-772-3808. I'm with Scott Hurt from Papa Bear's Pizza. We're going to take a short break. We're going to be back, and we're going to talk pizza. Coming up here on What's for Dinner. And welcome back to What's for Dinner. I'm Mindy Anderson. With me today, Scott Hurt from Papa Bear's Pizza. Thanks again, Scott, for coming in. And let me turn on your mic. There you go.
Okay.
Thanks again for joining us. Okay, well, I've always wondered, when it comes to pizza down at Papa Bear's, you must have your dough in some big containers. And tell us about that. When do you make it? How much do you make? You don't have to give us the exact recipe, because your dough is pretty famous.
It's pizza dough is pretty basic. We use 5 ingredients, that's it.
Okay.
It's very natural, very nothing in it except for natural good ingredients. But we got flour, oil, brown sugar, yeast, and water. That is it.
You put brown sugar in there?
That's what helps brown it.
Oh, okay. Oh.
And it makes a nice brown, tough crust with a soft... That's what makes it so soft inside and brown, crusty on the outside.
Okay.
So each ingredient does its own...
thing.
Yeah. Keeps it a special way. So we use... Oh, right now we're doing 200 pounds a day.
200 pounds of dough a day.
Yeah. Huh. Summertime, we make it 3 or 4 times a day to keep it going. We try not to use it for 24 hours after we make it.
Okay.
And then we have to use it within 72 hours. Mm-hmm. After 72, you get really flat pizzas.
Yeah, so. it's because it's done its work.
Right, all the yeast is activated.
Mm-hmm.
So, doughs come a long ways. I was running bakeries when I was in my 20s. And this new instant yeast has made dough making so much easier than it used to be. When you had to activate it, get it foamed in the water, have it all exactly at 85 degrees. And this new instant yeast makes it cold water, get it going. You can use it within 2 hours if you have to.
Right. And, yeah, so go on. So go on. You make it, and how do you make it? What kind of container are you making your dough in?
We use a big mixer, 30-quart mixer, that we build 20-pound batches in at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it comes out, we scale it off for the different size dough we do, whether 12, 14, 16-inch. And we roll it up into little balls so it's easy to form into the circles for the pizzas. And then we put them in these large trays that will hold 10 small 12-inch dough balls, 8 14-inch, and 6 of the big 16-inch pieces.
Uh-huh.
And we have a big cooler that we slide them in. That's got a rack inside that holds them, and we've got 16 trays there. Then we have extra put into our other refrigerator, wherever we can find spots in it.
Sure.
So we have about 18 dough trays we have full all times.
And then, so when do you make that dough? Like, okay, so for tomorrow.
That dough was made this morning.
It was made this morning. And you have staff just dedicated to come in and make that dough in the morning, or you make it before you open?
Before we open. Mandy, my partner and daughter, makes mm-hmm. probably 80% of our dough.
Okay.
She comes in early and gets it started, and I work the night shift. She always tells me I'm better with the customers, and she's better with the dough.
Uh-huh.
So, but she's probably made about 80% of the dough at Papa Bear since we've been open. And I think I figured she made 250,000 batches or something at one time.
Amazing.
I had her a T-shirt made with it.
That's
so
amazing. She could probably do it in her sleep.
Yes, and her kids don't get away from her. She's got very, very strong arms.
Mm-hmm.
Because of working that dough, you got to form it into a ball. And fresh dough is very tough, can be. And so her hands, she's got quite a grip in her hands. And when her kids move and she grabs them, they don't get away from her too often.
So hand-formed dough, I know a lot of different pizza places, they just cut off a large chunk, and right. they go from there. And you guys have yours is each individually.
Well, they've got a machine that's about $15,000 where you can throw it in there, and it rolls it out in perfect little balls for you.
Well, if you keep giving your money away.
Yeah, it's we like to call ours hand-tossed.
It's
handmade
nice.
All the way through.
It's very good.
That way we know what the sometimes you've worked with dough in your cooking.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes you get a batch you know is just not right.
Uh-huh.
And if you're not feeling it and touching it, you don't know that.
That's right.
So I don't think I want a machine making my dough.
I am learning how to make dough. I've been making breads, and it is amazing how much you learn just from constantly making dough. I mean, it takes a lot of practice.
It does.
You can't become really good at it just by making it every now and then. It needs to be a very regular routine.
We go down to the big international pizza show,
mm-hmm.
and there's a guy there called the Dough Doctor. And we take classes from him when we go down. And he's amazing what he knows about dough. He's about my age, but he's been making dough since he was 15. In pizza parlors. And this man knows a lot about dough, and he's the one that taught me about the instant yeast years ago to get started with it.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, I would never have thought about it.
How long are you mixing it when you mix it in your mixer?
About 7 minutes.
7 minutes of kneading.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a friend that's been in the bakery business that's where I got started with it. He's been friends of mine for over 40 years. We were in the grocery business together. We started. He grew up in New York City and shoveled coal into an oven for a German baker. And that's where he learned his master baking. And he's now with Costco. He's with his vice president of their Costco operations
uh-huh.
for bakery for quite a few. And I learned a lot about dough and baking from that gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the recipe we use is a lot of his.
And when you started off, we'll get back to the pizza in a second, but you started off here, you moved here to work at the trading union.
Right.
I remember that.
Yeah.
and which is, you know, a great, for those of you who don't know, is a, you know, a great department store. I'm going to say department store because it has its departments.
Yes.
All in one building except for the hardware across the street. Great department store in Petersburg. And then what made you decide to go with, at that time it was Pellerito's, right?
Right. Ken from the trading union was supposed to retire 5 years after I got here.
Uh-huh.
7 years later, he was still there.
Yeah.
He owned the place. One of us had to go. And it was very friendly. Ken gave me everything he ever promised me except retiring.
Uh-huh.
And a friend of mine called me and wanted me to help him put all the food in Kmart stores. Short story, we got him done. They went bankrupt. And I was looking for work.
Mm-hmm.
The only job I could find was in the lower 48, mm-hmm. or Bermuda. I had an offer there, too. And Mandy said, "Dad, don't go away. I just had my first baby. We want you, Mom, staying here." I said, "Yeah, what am I going to do? I need a job." She goes, "Buy the pizza parlor. Pete really wants to sell it." I said, "Yeah, right." That, I think, was on a Wednesday. On Monday, we owned it. It surprised me.
Mm-hmm. Did it seem overwhelming at first? I'm sure Pete probably showed you how to make the dough.
Well, he offered to stay for a month or two, but we needed him for about 2 days.
Uh-huh.
Like I said, I'd worked dough enough with a friend of mine. In Montana, I wanted to buy a pizza parlor.
Okay.
With my friend that I was telling you about. Him and I first talked about it, and he wouldn't commit. So that's why I didn't own a pizza parlor in Montana, and I moved to Alaska.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit more about your pizza creations. You've won awards with which pizza?
They've got several categories. We always enter the traditional. Our pizzas, because Petersburg is so traditional, if you get a little bit off the charts, a little out of the box, you don't sell very many here.
Mm-hmm.
It's starting to get better. But our traditional pizza is the one we enter when we enter a contest. And they allow you two toppings, and you only have six to choose from. And they're basic. Pepperoni, right. Sausage, black olive, mushroom. Your basic ingredients. And we won with our pepperoni and Italian sausage.
Okay.
And our dough is very good.
Yes.
And that's what we win with.
Uh-huh.
So.
And you make the same dough, you make it the same kind of pizza like you do here?
Yes.
Or do you do anything different?
No. Not a thing different.
Mm-hmm. It's a good pepperoni pizza.
Yeah. And that's what we stick
with. Yes.
So. And we no longer compete because they took us out of Western United States. Alaska, now based on the International Pizza Expo, is now part of the International Division. And last time we competed, we were against Italy, yeah. Australia, Canada, Belgium. We took third that year. Two guys from Italy beat us.
So third, that's great.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah. Two guys from Italy beat us, and the one guy beat everybody that beat us. So, but it's a lot of fun to compete.
Uh-huh.
It's quite an interesting procedure to get it done.
Now, what about your Italian sausage? Do you buy that ground up? You have a good sausage maker, or you obviously it's a good Italian sausage.
It is. We use a place out of Chicago.
Uh-huh.
And it's called Fontanini.
Uh-huh.
And they are very big into sausage. And I've looked at a lot of different sausage companies through the years, and they by far have the best sausage I've ever eaten. They've got inexpensive sausage, and they've got the ones we use. Our spicy Italian, nobody in Seattle will stock it because the price is too much. I have to special order it.
And you have it, is it like, what, FedExed or something?
No, they'll bring it into Seattle. I've got a supplier that'll bring it in when he orders, but he'll order just what I want.
Okay, yeah.
And then he'll ship it to me. And
I knew there was something about that sausage.
Yes.
Because it's definitely a good sausage, I can tell.
I when you make it yourself, if I'm not here to make it, it wouldn't be the same. I know it wouldn't be when I was on vacation, so that's why I went out and found one that could be the same every time I get it. I want you to get the same pizza every time you order it.
Uh-huh.
And that's... Mandy can do the dough. Meat making sausage is a real art. And I don't know if I could do it the same every time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
After 15 years, I probably could.
Yeah. Yeah, with a lot of practice. Yeah. And your job is pizza.
Yep.
And maybe keep the sausage expertise to somebody else. And
right.
That's a good way to go.
Yeah. So it's... It's real tough to offer a consistent product. It's so important that when you come down there, you're going to get the same pizza you got last week. And that is just everything we work for. And Mandy, when we first bought the place, I asked her, do you want to make the best pizza we can, or do you want to make the best price pizza we can? And she hemmed and hawed, was trying to decide. Being a mom, she was thinking maybe cheap. And being... I really enjoy food. I made the final decision and said, I want the best pizza. I'm going to be eating this. I want the best one I can have.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we went.
It's delicious, and it's known all around Southeast Alaska, of course, and beyond. So you must get people all the time coming in and suggesting pizzas.
Absolutely.
Can you think of any just crazy ideas people have that you're thinking, why would we ever sell a pizza with that? Without giving any names.
The biggest one I get is from our tourists.
Okay.
They all want to know why I don't serve seafood pizza. And if it's not seafood from here, it's pretty expensive to get here. And if it's seafood from here, the locals won't buy it because I have to get too much for it. I can't serve seafood off the ship that comes into the dock or anything. I've got to buy it from a certified...
Right, yeah. Certified supplier.
Right. So I'm paying the same price I do in Seattle for it. I can't get it from Luke, my son-in-law that fishes. But trying to explain that to a tourist is difficult through the summer months.
Yeah.
And I get a lot of requests for clam pizza, which would be wonderful if you get fresh clams here. And you need something you can get on a regular basis, not just this week and hope you get it. I have a hard time with basil.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping it in stock.
Sure. Yeah.
And you get anything wilder than that, it gets pretty tough to keep it in stock and offer it on a regular basis.
Okay. What's your most popular?
Absolutely, pepperoni.
Yeah. It's a good pizza.
My favorite pizza?
Uh-huh.
Cheese. When I travel, that's the only pizza I order. If you get a good cheese pizza, you don't need any other item.
And what kind of cheese do you use? A mozzarella or is it a blend?
It's a blend. We've tried a couple different blends. And a supplier in Seattle that I met at Pizza Expo, him and I sat down and put our blend together that I'm using now. We're the only one that uses it from this company, and it's a white cheddar.
Oh.
And that's what gives it a little different flavor in there. In fact, half of it's white cheddar.
That's interesting. All right.
So it's,
yeah, I've often wondered about your blend. Yeah, you don't have to give us the secret, but the white cheddar, that's...
I'd never had that before, and the gentleman that owns the Cheese Man is the name of the company. He said this is something he always thought would make a good pizza. And I said, it sounds good to me.
You've got good friends, the Cheese Man and the Dough Doctor.
Yeah, and it was funny, I've been using it about... 7-8 years now, this blend. And 2 years ago, Princeton did a study on the best flavored cheese. And it came out with my blend.
All right.
And that was they did a big study with all the college kids on campus. And every one of them, just about, I think it was 91%, picked that one as the best flavor. What's really good about my cheese blend if you buy your pizza and you have it left over the next day, if you use just mozzarella, it gets a little bit stringy, very gummy, kind of hard to warm up the next day. Our pizza is really good cold, or you can rewarm it and still have it stringy. Hmm. And that's why we went with this blend.
Does your cheese, you know, I've never been past the dipping counter, the ice cream dipping counter of Papa Bear's. And so I've never had a tour of your setup or your ingredients. Is your cheese shredded, or have you ever seen pizza where it's like little balls of cheese?
Yes, you can have it shredded different ways for you.
Okay.
You can do it yourself.
Okay.
It's 20 cents a pound for me to have them shredded. I've got too many things to do to shred cheese.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So you have seen the little, kind of a little
right.
balls or little, it's almost like they're almost little squares of cheese.
I'm trying to think what they're called. It's something cubed, but I used that one time years ago.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. When I was trying different cheeses.
Yeah. We had a pizza place back home, and people who are from the Quad Cities, which there are several people in this community who are from there, remember Happy Joe's, and their pizza was the cubed. Because they had a window set up where when you were little kids, you could watch them make the pizzas.
Yeah, that's Pizza Expo. It's about the size of 3 football fields.
Okay.
And you can see everything there that has to do with the pizza. It's amazing. It takes us 3 to 4 days to get through it all.
And you probably just eat pizza.
We found that they don't make very good crust at Pizza Expo.
Okay.
I usually have them fix me up something by itself. So I don't want the sauce. I don't want the other stuff. I want to be able to taste the product that I'm looking for. So I usually don't eat just the whole pizza. I have them fix me something different. I love the wings. There's wings all over the place down there.
Ooh, yeah.
But that's what I usually snack on when I'm going through is the wings.
Okay. And every now and then at Parks and Rec, you teach a pizza making class, which I think is so cool.
It is probably one of the most fun things I do all year long.
Tell me about teaching that pizza class and what it's like and just your experience with that.
We decided, we call it Pizza 101.
Uh-huh.
And the first year we did it with younger kids and middle school and high school, and the younger ones were a little hard to work with. They couldn't reach up onto the counter to make the pizza. So I've dropped the real young ones now. But we bring them in one day, the first day, and we make a batch of dough with them. And they each roll their own little dough ball to work the next day, and I put their name on it, and we put it in our refrigerator, and I give them a little outlet on pizza, go through stuff with them, so they can start thinking about what they're going to make for the next day. And the next day comes, they each get to roll out their own dough, sauce it. I give them all the choices of sauces we have, and they can make any pizza they want. And then we usually have 3 or 4 judges come in. We've had Donnie Hayes from Parks and Rec, because he helps us sponsor it, he
sure.
comes down every time. And then we usually try to call some of the other business guys or the mayor or somebody to come down and join them and kind of have a contest. And whoever wins, then I feature that pizza all week long at our restaurant.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Last year we had Kara
Newman?
Newman, yes. She won last year, and we named the pizza the Kara Bean Supreme because it had pineapple and some spicy on it, and we ran that for the full week.
Oh, that's great.
And it was an excellent pizza she made.
Do you do that once a year, or do you do it every couple years?
We've been doing it between Christmas and New Year's during their
Christmas
break.
Oh, when the kids are off.
This year I'm not going to be able to do it because I will be gone.
Mm-hmm.
We're having a family vacation between Christmas and New Year's this year, but I'm still going to do it in January.
Great. We'll be looking for that.
We'll with Parks and Rec. I've talked to him and told him we'd set up a date for Jan. Because, it, like I said, it is by far one of the most enjoyable days I spend in my pizza parlor. These kids just, the creations they have are just incredible. I've seen dragons put on the pizza they made with black olives and pineapple. And it's just, it's really fun to watch them build their pizzas.
We'll look for that here at the radio station and send somebody over to make sure we get some pictures and get a little news on that.
I'll send a note over to you when it happens. It is fun. It is really fun to watch.
That sounds great. Scott, thanks for coming in today and joining us, and thanks for all that you do for the community. All the donations, the pizza slices you give away, the pizzas you give away, the everything that you do, and it's pretty amazing to see a business do so much for their community. So thank you.
It's important to be part of your community.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like I said, KFSK is an important part of this community, and we need to help support it.
And we'll be giving away a couple of Papa Bear's pizzas Friday with Rich Jennings' Rock and Roll Show here on KFSK. So tune in for Rich's great trivia. Thanks, Scott.
You're welcome, Mindy. Thanks.
Welcome back to What's for Dinner. This is What's for Dinner Membership Week, and time to make your donation. Call into KFSK 772-3808, 888-772-3808, and you can also go to our website, kfsk.org, Facebook page, or you can stop in to our studios here at 404 North 2nd Street. Coming up next, it's the drink of the week. Support for What's for Dinner comes from Keto's Cave and Liquor Store with a large selection of beers, wines, brandies, and rums to cook with, accompany any meal or potluck, or for mixing in a new favorite drink, hosting trivia on Wednesdays, open mic on Thursdays, and a DJ for dancing on the weekends. Keto's Cave and Liquor Store, open 7 days a week. Thanks for tuning in. Welcome back to What's for Dinner. It's time for the drink of the week. I really wanted to find a drink that used Gewürztraminer wine. Gewürztraminer. Is that how you say it? Gewürztraminer. M-I-N-E-R. Gewürztraminer. Anyway, it's a hard one to pronounce, but it's a delicious wine, and I love that white, crisp, sweet wine, and actually, I love it when it's a cold day and snow on the ground and you have that crisp white wine. I don't always feel like I have to have something warm if I'm having a drink outside. That crispness is so nice with this wine. But here's an autumn punch made with it. Perfect for a party coming up or just having some friends over. You need 2 teaspoons of whole cloves, half of a vanilla bean split lengthwise, 1 64-ounce bottle of apple cranberry juice, 1 medium purple or green plum pitted and sliced. There are still plums in the grocery stores. 1 bottle of Gewürztraminer, and or you can use a different fruity wine and some ice cubes. So place the cloves and vanilla bean in a piece of cotton, like cheesecloth, and bring the corners together and tie it so that you're making a little satchel. Then pour the apple cranberry juice into a large container or pitcher. Add the plums that you've pitted and sliced, and add those. And the spice bag. Cover and let that chill for 4 to 24 hours. So you're having some gals over on a Saturday night. You can do this Friday night, and it's going to taste great. Remove the cheesecloth from the bag, stir in the wine, and serve the beverage and plum slices over ice. And if you want to, you can omit the ice and heat the juice mixture and the wine in a Dutch oven until it's hot and serve it as a hot drink. Here, I got this from, actually, Better Homes and Gardens. And you can serve this, this is beautiful, in a tall glass with some ice, a very tall glass with the sliced plums. It's beautiful. Just a beautiful drink and very nice. And I love plums. So that's the drink of the week. Now it's time for my sweet tooth. Last week, I gave you a recipe for some little hand pies, and I'm still on the pie kick because the apples are so good right now. And these are so easy to make. The kids are going to love making these, and they're easier than the hand pies, definitely. So these are apple pie bites. You can use crescent rolls if you want to. Pre-made crescent rolls from the refrigerated section of the grocery store. You could use puff pastry from the frozen section of the grocery store. Or you can make your own croissant dough if you like. A little more difficult, time-consuming. I'd go with one of the first two options. And if you want to, you can even make, you could make this with pie dough if you want and make some pie dough or buy some pie dough and use that too. Any one of these would work and they're going to taste delicious. You need to get some brown sugar, 1/4 cup, teaspoon of apple pie spice, and a little bit of apple pie spice for sprinkling on the top. 3 tablespoons of melted butter, 1/3 cup of chopped pecans, a small Granny Smith apple cored and sliced into 8 1/2-inch slices, and 1 either can of Pillsbury crescent rolls or a package of the dough like I mentioned. Preheat your oven to 375. Line your baking sheet with your best friend parchment paper. And in a small bowl, you're going to combine the brown sugar, the apple pie spice, and set it aside. Then melt your butter and toss the apple slices in the butter, set it aside. Then you're going to arrange your crescent roll triangles, or you cut your dough that you have into triangles, like the crescent triangles. So they're pretty narrow and they're long. Of course, they're triangles, so they're wider at one end. And arrange them on your baking sheet lined with parchment paper. Then you're going to sprinkle the brown sugar mixture on each triangle, and then sprinkle each triangle with the chopped pecans. Then you place an apple slice on the wide end, and you start wrapping it up around the apple. Just wrap it, wrap it, wrap it. Then brush the dough with the remaining butter, sprinkle with a little bit of apple pie spice, and bake in the oven for 10 to 12 minutes. Until golden brown. This is for using the crescent rolls. It might take longer if you're using regular pie dough or puff pastry, so just keep an eye on that. Cool for 5 minutes before serving. So really, really good. You might get a little crunch to the apple, which is perfectly fine. Doesn't have to be, you know, super soft. It's still going to be a great snack. And those are apple pie bites. Coming up next, I'm going to open up Grandma Anderson's recipe box and pull a recipe out of it. I haven't opened the recipe box in quite a while. So today for What's for Dinner, we're going to do that in just a few minutes. Welcome back to What's for Dinner. It's time for Grandma's Recipe Box. And today, Grandma Anderson's Recipe Box. This is Rodney's Grandma Anderson, my husband. And I never met Grandma Anderson, but I was given her recipe box with all of her recipes in it. And there's so many in here, you can't even get any more recipes in it. It's fun to just pull one out and look at it. They're all in her writing. And I just pulled out apple crunch pudding. And it's perfect because I love talking about apples recently. So here's apple crunch pudding from Grandma Anderson. It doesn't say where she got this recipe from, but it looks pretty simple. So here we go. Apple crunch pudding from Grandma Anderson. This is from the Midwest. You're going to bake this at 300 degrees for 45 minutes. You need 6 slices of white bread, 1 cup of milk, 2 tablespoons of butter or margarine, 3 eggs, 1/2 cup of granulated sugar, 1 cup of diced, I think it says cored apples, 2/3 cup of raisins, 1/4 teaspoon of cinnamon, 1/4 teaspoon of nutmeg, and 1/4 teaspoon of salt. Also, 1/3 cup of firmly packed brown sugar. And here we have the recipe. Toast the bread lightly. Cut it into 1/2-inch cubes. Place in a buttered 6-cup baking dish. So you've got cubed white bread that you place in the buttered baking dish. I think I know where this is going. It's a bread pudding. Heat the milk slowly with butter or margarine in a saucepan and pour over the bread cubes and let stand for 1/2 hour. Beat the eggs until thick in a medium-sized bowl. Stir in the granulated sugar, the apple, the raisins, the cinnamon, the nutmeg, and the salt. Pour over the bread mixture and then fold it in. Sprinkle brown sugar on top. Bake it, spoon into dessert dishes, and serve warm with whipped cream. So this is apple crunch pudding, and it's like a bread pudding. But she did not mix all of it together at once, the milk mixture, and she didn't make the custard together. She poured the milk in the butter first. Then she added the egg and all of the sugars, raisins, cinnamon, nutmeg, folded it in. So there we have it. We'll see what happens next. What's the recipe I pull out next time out of Grandma's recipe box? And I'm very lucky to have it. Okay, last week on What's for Dinner, I said, okay, membership week, we're going to bring back the pantry party. So I gave you the opportunity to submit a recipe, an original recipe, from 3 ingredients that are in my pantry and fridge at home, and asked you to email them to me, and the winner will receive a prize. So I have a winner, I have a submission here, and I have a prize. The three items that you were to use in your recipe were squash, sausage, and apples. And this is a recipe that is for Grandma T's Portuguese kale soup. And this was submitted by listener and volunteer and member Molly Miller. Thanks, Molly, for submitting this recipe. I'm going to give this to everybody. You need fresh kale torn into bite-sized pieces, one bunch. Also, butternut squash cut into small cubes away from the skin. One large yellow onion, three potatoes cubed, two package of linguiça Portuguese sausage. And she said here she found it at Hammer and Wecon grocery store. Extra virgin olive oil, six cloves of garlic, one can of cannellini beans, half of a pink lady apple, or any, a bay leaf, paprika, cumin, and 32 ounces of chicken broth. Some of my favorite things are in this recipe, and how could you not like this if your grandma's making this? So she says here, simply cut all the ingredients and throw in a stock pot. Cook until the squash is softened. Is that the easiest recipe or what? I'm going to submit this recipe onto our Facebook page, also onto kfsk.org. And Molly, I have a gift for you here at KFSK Radio Station. I have a variety of different items for you, blackberry jams, pumpkin butter, salty pantry salts, also some instant oatmeal from the salty pantry, and some other items for you for your pantry. And thanks for submitting a recipe. And we'll bring the pantry party back every so often here on KFSK so you too can submit a recipe. And that's it for this week's What's for Dinner membership week. Thanks to Scott Hurt for joining us today, and thanks for the donation, Scott, from Papa Bear's Pizza. Thanks to Molly for submitting her recipe. Thanks to everybody who's called in to KFSK this week for membership week. I think we have a few people to thank. We'll get to that in just a moment, and then we'll listen to some country music before All Things Considered at 4 o'clock.